This is CPX number 10, the Creed 1.6, Man, Temptation, and the Angels. In the Catechism of Pope St. Pius X, we are on question number 22, still towards the beginning of this catechism. Question number 22 is, how are temptations conquered? Answer, temptations are conquered by watchfulness, prayer, and Christian mortification. Question number 23. What are the angels called who remain faithful to God? Answer, the angels who remain faithful to God are called the good angels, heavenly spirits, or simply angels. Question number 24. What became of the angels who remain faithful to God? The angels who remain faithful to God were confirmed in grace, forever enjoy the vision of God, love Him, bless Him, and praise Him eternally. Question number 25. Does God use the angels as His ministers? Answer, yes, God uses the angels as His ministers, and especially does He entrust to many of them the office of acting as our guardians and protectors. Question number 26. Should we have a particular devotion to our guardian angel? Answer, yes, we should have a particular devotion to our guardian angel. We should honor him, invoke his aid, follow his inspirations, and be grateful to him for the continual assistance he affords us. So much for the words of the saintly Pope. Now I will give you a few of my words on this. I'm going to go in reverse order today and just give a tiny bit on each one of those questions. So we're going to go in reverse order. Question number 26, should we have a particular devotion to our guardian angel? Now, for a long time, I believed that my guardian angel was kind of my pet to tell him what to do and send on these different tasks and stuff. And where it is true that some of the saints, like Padre Pio, had such an intimate relationship of friendship with his guardian angel that they could almost talk to them as equals, as friends, we have to realize the angels are not our equals. These are majestic beings. And where it is amazing that they were assigned to us to get us to heaven, essentially our job is to obey them, not vice versa. Now, I very much believe in the notion of sending my guardian angel to a friend's guardian angel or my guardian angel to a family member's guardian angel to work things out, to protect someone, to work on their salvation. When it's a matter of glorifying God or saving souls, I do believe that our guardian angels maybe won't take commands from us, but might take our very humble suggestions because they are our dearest friends. And this is where the saintly Pope said today that we should honor them, invoke their aid, follow their inspirations, and be grateful to him for the continual assistance he affords us. But notice those words, follow his inspirations. That's my main goal with a guardian angel, my guardian angel. I have two as a priest. I am to follow his inspirations more than he's to follow mine. And this is something I kind of got wrong for my first 10 years of believing in a guardian angel. Now that's a good segue to the next one, which is question number 25. Notice I said believing in my guardian angel. I think there's a lot of Catholics out there who actually do believe in the Eucharist that kind of find it hard to believe that they have a guardian angel with them day and night at all times. Is this just devotional, or is this de fide? De fide means an object of divine revelation of our faith. The answer is that guardian angels is de fide, an object of our faith, and here's why. Our Lord actually says in the Bible in Matthew chapter 18, verse 10, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." Our Lord there is talking about children there. Let me read that again. "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." So that's extraordinary what our Lord is saying, that from the moment a child is, which means the conception, not the birth, from the moment a child is, he or she has a guardian angel that is doing two things at once, simultaneously seeing the face of our Father in heaven and protecting this child. And this is why you should never offend a child through scandal. And scandal means sinning around them. That means letting them find bad things on the internet. That means letting them hear you cuss or something like that. Sometimes that even means parents fighting in front of their children. This can be a scandal to children. Again, for I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. So angels are simultaneously watching out for us and they have the beatific vision at the same time. And again, if that's hard for you to understand, it's because we don't understand how unbelievably powerful these angels are. that there is no space between their will and intellect. These are so united in them, and they're so perfect of creatures that they can do this. Question number 25, does God use the angels as his ministers? Yes, God uses the angels as his ministers, and especially does he entrust to many of them the office of acting as our guardians and protectors. So right there, you do have a certain sense that the angels have a certain task to take care of us. And this is why it's very amazing if you actually think of their probationary period, that the angels were actually given a test. And part of that test was, would they worship Christ? Would they accept his mother as even higher than them in glory? And also, would they accept the test of helping us get to heaven? Us creatures who've got dirt under our fingernails and we burp and all these things, and these angels are perfect. That is one of their probation before they were actually given the beatific vision. Now, they were in glory, but before they were given the full beatific vision, they had to pass the probation of accepting the incarnation, the fact the Mother of God would be higher than even Lucifer, had Lucifer not fallen, in glory, and that's one of the main reasons he fell. In fact, if you read St. Mary of the Great as City of God, that was more of a reason for Lucifer's fall, his repulsion at the fact Mary would be higher than him, even more than a repulsion at the incarnation. But part of the probation of the angels would they help us lame human beings on this earth full of dirt get to heaven? And that's where we have to honor our guardian angels, that they are such glorious creatures still taking this task to get poor schmucks like you and me to heaven. So we should be really thankful, because I believe next to St. Joseph, the angels are the most underutilized forces in the universe to get us to heaven. These are the most underutilized forces of heaven that we call on. And maybe third in that list would be the souls in purgatory. Some saints believe we could call on the souls in purgatory. I believe those saints who believe that we could call on the souls in purgatory to intercede for us. In fact, one saint said she received more favors from the souls in purgatory than those in heaven. And I think maybe the reason she gave is because they're actually suffering. Okay, question number 24. What became of the angels who remained faithful to God? Answer, the angels who remained faithful to God were confirmed in grace, forever enjoy the vision of God, love him, bless him, and praise him eternally. I believe that when we're in this difficult time on earth, as everything is really getting difficult around us right now, we should really cultivate a love of our homeland, which is heaven. Do you realize how amazing it is that the angels who are pure spirits have a beatific vision of the Blessed Trinity? And if we stay faithful to grace, we will see God forever as he is. This is what the beatific vision is. We will be worshiping God with all of the angels. I don't mean we're worshiping the angels. I mean, the angels will be around us humans, and us humans will be around all the angels, and we will be beholding God as he is. This is the beatific vision, worshiping God. And this is where it's so important that we stay faithful to grace, that we stay faithful to our inspirations that come from our guardian angel, because this is just a pilgrimage right here. This is a pilgrimage through earth to ultimately get to heaven. Question number 23, what are the angels called who remain faithful to God? The angels who remain faithful to God are called the good angels, heavenly spirits, or simply angels. That means messengers. St. Bonaventure in the 13th century complained how poorly catechized the Catholics of his century were, that so few people could name the nine choirs of angels, that there's actually a hierarchy of them, and the highest are made to worship God, and the lowest are here to serve us. That should tell you something right there, that we always think of the angels, again, as here to serve us, but the most important angels, the seraphim, they rarely run tasks on earth. The seraphim and the cherubim, their one goal is adoration of God. And it's the lower angels, even though, as I said earlier, they do behold the beatific vision, but, you know, lower in glory, it's their job to help us on earth. So again, this really challenges this whole anthropocentric theology, this man-centered theology. It reminds us that all of creation is directed to God, not to man. All of creation is directed to God. If the highest choirs of the angels, the seraphim and the cherubim, were created not so much for man, the seraphim and cherubim were created to worship God. So, for example, the Franciscans are known as the seraphic order precisely because they were expected to be living in such contemplation, not because they were just working in soup kitchens. The seraphic vocation of the Franciscans is contemplation, because contemplation is what we'll be doing in heaven, and this is why the Church holds contemplation as the highest calling. Remember in Luke chapter 10, I believe, you have Martha and Mary, and Martha's running around very, very busy, and she says, basically, Lord, tell my sister to help me. He says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and anxious about many things. Only one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her. So this is why contemplation is so important. And the last question in reverse order is question number 22. How are temptations conquered? Temptations are conquered by watchfulness, prayer, and Christian mortification. Last time I talked about why suffering is our glory, and someone sent me a very powerful quote from Archbishop Fulton Sheen that I'm going to close with. Quote, "It is not so much what people suffer that makes the world mysterious. It's rather how much they miss when they suffer. They seem to forget that even as children, they made obstacles in their games in order to have something to overcome. Why then, when they grow into man's estate, should there not be prizes won by effort and struggle? Cannot the spirit of man rise with adversity as the bird rises against the resistance of the wind? Do not the game fish swim upstream? Must not the chisel cut away the marble to bring out the form? Must not the seed falling to the ground die before it can spring forth into life? Must not grapes be crushed that there may be wine to drink, and wheat ground that there may be bread to eat? Why then cannot pain be made redemption? Why under the alchemy of divine love cannot crosses be turned into crucifixes? Why cannot chastisements be regarded as penances? Why cannot we use a cross to become godlike? We cannot become like him in his power. We cannot become like him in his knowledge. There's only one way we can become like him, and that is the way he bore his sorrows and his cross. And that way was with love. It is love that makes pain bearable." And I will close with a blessing. Et benedicat vos omnipotens Deus, Pater et Filius, et Spiritus Sanctus. Amen.